Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. Samantha Stone in for Sam Shad today. Hey, when the ACLU and the Eagle Forum sit down together and nod and they're in agreement, you better pay attention, buddy, no matter what your political stripe. That's coming up on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Travis, do you think we'll be cowboys someday?
You darn tootin', maybe we'll even win some buckles.
Get ready for the nonstop adrenaline-pounding excitement, because it's time to cowboy up for the Reno Rodeo. Join us at 10 a.m. downtown Reno, Saturday, June 18th for the Reno Rodeo Parade, followed by Kids Day at the Rodeo Grounds from noon till 3.
These guys are our future. That's why we rodeo for the kids.
Yeah! As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI water and sewer companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard, while biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Samantha Stone, in for Sam Shad, who's on special assignment fact-gathering mission. We expect him back Tuesday with a whole range of previously undiscovered facts for you. Today, I have two women with me, as you can see to my left. Rebecca Gasco, Legislative and Policy Director, ACLU of Nevada. To my right, Janine Hansen, President of the Nevada Eagle Forum, symbolically seated left and right, because as we've discussed prior to the show, that's kind of how the world sees the two of you. Janine, you think that's a stereotype?
I do think it's a stereotype, and I think that we have been artificially divided, because there are many issues that most Americans agree on, like our constitutional liberties, that both the left and the right and all the people in the middle really agree on.
And does the ACLU actually define itself as a left of center organization?
Absolutely not. We are sometimes undefinable, only defined, I guess, by the Constitution and those similar values that we hold high above all else, and those are the principles that are enshrined in those documents.
All right, so the reason that I invited these two women here to talk with me today is that I've observed them working throughout the legislative session, and sometimes, more often than one would think, they work together.
Yes, we
and
do.
When they both show up, when they both make their way to the testimony table, and the two of them are sitting there in front of a panel of legislators, it's kind of a powerful moment, because whatever your politics, you realize that if both of them are concerned, then all of us maybe should be concerned. So let's start with some of the issues that you've agreed on, and I think there are a lot of them. And I'm going to start with the ballot access issues. I'm going to start with you, Rebecca. Just name some of these and tell us why it was concerning to you.
Well, the ACLU fundamentally believes in access to the ballot, whether that's individually, you know, as a right to express oneself via the voting process, or collectively as a group, as a collective, you know, party, whether that's a Democrat, Republican, or a minor party. We believe that there should be a fundamental, easy access to the ballot in order to express oneself. So far this legislative session, we've seen multiple proposals that would curb that access. And together, Janine and I have fought in order to keep that at bay. One example would be an issue to prevent minor parties, or I should say, to limit the clarity of the party name. And that would be via a kind of an abbreviation, IDP, versus NP, meaning independent, or IAP, Independent American Party. It can be kind of confusing. If you're a member of a major party, you know D equals Democrat, or DEM maybe Democrat, Republican, REP, if they decided to use an abbreviation like that. But for minor parties or for no party, it's a little more confusing. And so Janine and I actually agree on an issue that that says that fundamentally, if a person goes to the ballot, they need to know, and it should be clear, which party it is that a person comes from. So the abbreviation is not sometimes helpful, and in fact, it might confuse a voter. That's why we thought that spelling out the party name was appropriate, and we were able to come together on that.
Yes, see, and sometimes these issues sound unimportant, or not unimportant, but it's like
splitting hairs.
Who cares? Yeah. But let's talk about some of the money issues, though, with regard to elections. You had spoken about a $100 expenditure rule that was pending.
Well, I think one of the things we found is that a place that the most important fundamental values of freedom of speech, freedom of petition, freedom of assembly, they all come up in the Assembly and the Senate Legislative Operations and Elections Committee. And when you begin to place restrictions on free speech, then you have the interference of government in the opportunity for people to participate. So we have both worked on issues where if a person made a homemade sign or they handed out some flyers in their neighborhood and they spent $100, they would, before they could do that, would have to register with the Secretary of State. Can you imagine what Thomas Jefferson or James Madison might have said about that? And but of course, it was always, the Supreme Court has said that anonymous free speech is American, but we know that that has been suppressed through these requirements of reporting.
So the reporting is a matter of registering you and registering your opinion in some data bank somewhere, as opposed to allowing you to just be an average guy with no particular identity.
Exactly. The right to freely express yourself is a constitutional right. Courts have said as much. In fact, in the Ninth Circuit, it was the ACLU in a case called ACLU v. Heller versus Heller several years ago that expressly prohibited a blanket ban on anonymous speech. We saw a direct challenge from a bill proposed by the Secretary of State this session that would require this type of anonymous speech
Absolutely.
To be registered with his office once it reached a $100 threshold. We're still fighting it. It still hasn't been figured out. We've got 2 weeks left in the session to get there. We're hoping that, you know, we can get that inserted language in order to prohibit, you know, the movement forward of suppressing this anonymous speech.
Okay, I got the ACLU and the Eagle Forum both nodding. They're both
we
looking, saying this is a problem. So everybody else should pay attention to that. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Nevada Newsmakers. Stand by for more.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
These are the greatest classic rock bands of all time. So get ready to relive rock at its best with the complete classic rock collection. The 100 greatest classic rock songs of all time on one unbelievable 8-CD collection.
Love isn't always on, tell more, Mr. Nice. classic songs that live on forever. You can't get this massive 8 CD collection in any store. So let rock rule with a complete classic rock collection. To order, have your credit card ready and call the number on your screen. Do it now.
Local entertainment. Las Vegas Review Journal. Get inside.
This interview segment is sponsored by the Nevada Motor Transport Association. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. Samantha Stone in for Sam Shad with Rebecca Gaska from the ACLU, Janine Hansen from the Nevada Eagle Forum, and we're discussing the things that they agree on, which are pretty plentiful, and they have made numerous joint appearances at the testimony table here in the legislative session. We're moving into what I call the brave new world. Cyberspace, privacy issues, DNA. Let's talk first about a bill that kind of probably had its final hearing the other day, SB 43, which is the electronic medical records bill. Now, this is a federal mandate, and we could do a whole show about it. We could probably do five whole shows about it. Interestingly enough, it's had scant media coverage. Mm-hmm. The issue, of course, is that all of our records are going to be electronic, data-based, shared between medical providers in the name of efficiency and cost-cutting and lots of other good things that we should all want. Give me the short version, because we have other issues to get to. What were you concerned about?
Senate Bill 43 makes the state move forward with digitizing our health records. The ACLU's initial interest was to ensure that those medical records are maintained private, that it is the citizens that own those records, that it's the citizens that have the right to opt in and opt out, to ensure that those records are segmented so that your podiatrist doesn't get the same information about your medical history as your family doctor or vice versa. If you don't want them to, it should be up to you to make sure that you have the kind of the key to your own medical privacy.
So the citizens owning their own records as opposed to the state or as opposed to some system that can then randomly distribute them for profit or otherwise. And it's generally not the for-profit issue that worries me the most. I know some people worry about that.
It's the access.
It's law enforcement and a lot of other forces that have nothing to do with business. Janine, what was your primary issue? Because it was different. You agreed on that this bill needed work for a different reason.
Well, I think that an individual needs to have the opportunity in these huge government systems and these databases which we have to protect their own information. This information is very valuable to employers, to insurance companies, to people, unscrupulous people that are hacking into the records. Mm-hmm. And these people need to be able to protect that because it could affect generations of your family with regards to your insurance or your job, etc. So I proposed an amendment that allowed individual doctors to opt out of the system, and I've tried to get an amendment to allow individual people the opportunity in opting out of the system. But once you opt out of the system, do you have a right to access medical care? Or will you be prevented from receiving medical care because you've refused to participate in the system? So they say you have a choice, that you don't have to be in it, but if you don't have any opportunity to access any medical care, then you really don't have a choice.
So you're anticipating unanticipated consequences. You're anticipating them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly right.
And of course, all these bills do have consequences down the line that we didn't foresee. Did you have something to add?
Well, I just wanted to say I really appreciated the opportunity to come together on this, because those unanticipated consequences are exactly why we can come together so often to ask those questions. Because often you know, lawmakers are in the short session, and I find it, you know, a very awesome opportunity to come together and say, hey, wait a minute, hold on, let's look at where this is going and what could be a consequence of the decisions that you're making.
And that is, that's one reason that I get a little nervous when we start having these foreshortened hearings where you pack in 25 bills. I'm hyperbolizing a bit, but not much. And they, none of them get this kind of vetting where everybody's asking what could possibly go wrong. The great question that we should all be asking, what could possibly go wrong?
I think one of the big problems is that instead of the legislators realizing that it's their responsibility to protect our liberties, they're there trying to pass more government.
Well, as you brought that up, okay, you're around the periphery of where I was going to be with the next question, which is this. What we do here is based to a tremendous extent on pragmatism, on politics, on money, on getting it done in 120 days. And it's got to be a lonely job for both of you, other than you have each other. It's got to be a lonely job to proceed on principle. Because principle doesn't often get brought up in the course of legislating. So talk about just the notion of advocating principle. Where does that put you?
I think it makes you very free. We don't have to respond to particular political party or power or money. We're free to go there and tell the truth as we see it, to protect individuals' constitutional rights. I just talked to one legislator. He said, you're one of the only free people in this building. And I said, that's right, because we're here on principle. We're here for liberty. We're not here because we owe anybody anything or we can lobby with money. We only have individuals that are involved, citizens. And so that is a wonderful feeling, even if we're alone, to go in and tell the truth.
However, and we have to wrap this up, but it's also harder, isn't it?
You know, only harder insofar as you get the hard questions.
That's right.
But they're the funnest to answer because you do have the opportunity to be liberated and speak freely and honestly and truthfully without being beholden to anybody else who's standing behind you. We like to say that our clients are the our only client is the Constitution. And
right.
That's what we're beholden to.
No hammer over the head. Thanks for joining us, ladies.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Good work. Keep it up. And we're coming back with pundits in just a minute. It's Nevada Newsmakers.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Chain law firms advertise heavily here in the Carson City area. I'm Charlie Kilpatrick.
And I'm attorney Angela Bolentini. Hard work, honesty, and local experience can make a real difference in your case. Call us right away.
In 1990, in Severn, Maryland, the daughter of a clergyman was discovered by a music industry insider while pumping gas at a service station. The odds of her getting signed and spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of this former church choir singer going on to sell 40 million records? 1 in 15 million. The odds of the same woman winning 6 Grammy Awards and starring in 2 Broadway plays? 1 in 75 million. The odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference.
News 4 app, now available for both the iPhone and Android devices. The News 4 app gives instant breaking news updates with push notifications. Go to the App Store or Android Market and search My News 4 to download the app for free.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome back to Nevada Newsmakers. It's pundit panel time. I've got three pundits with me today. Ernie Adler, former state senator. And Janie Johnson, author of Don't Take My Lemonade Stand. Is it Please Don't Take My Lemonade Stand?
No, Don't Take My Lemonade
Don't
Stand.
Don't Take My Lemonade Stand. Trevor Hayes, lobbyist for Hayes Law Nevada. Welcome to you all. You just watched the ACLU and the Eagle Forum sit there together and nod a lot about a lot of issues. And while it's counterintuitive to think that these two might work together, when you step back, it makes a lot of sense to me. What are your thoughts, Trevor?
Well, I think that the characterization of the ACLU as a left organization has always been a bit off. I'm a Republican, and I'd say two-thirds to three-quarters of what they do falls right in line with what I believe. I mean, they're a group that is basically defending the Constitution, and how can I disagree with that? I think much of what they do falls right in line. I don't think it's partisan.
A lot of it, I think, is because they do tend to take on extreme cases to make the point that's inherent in that case, Janie.
Well, absolutely. I'm going to agree with him, and that what's most important is our constitutional rights, and that's equal rights for everyone, not preferential treatment for someone, and that a lot of the times labels get in the way of what exactly is the principles and what's to be represented. And so there's sometimes I agree with the ACLU, but many times I do not. So I just have to look at each case and each principle as it comes up.
Ernie, was Jeanine Hansen correct that we've been artificially divided?
Well, I think if you go back to your college political science class, they always have a circle, and the two extremes kind of meet in the middle sometimes, and I think that's what's going on here in terms of the ACLU and the Eagle Forum. On certain free speech issues, for instance, they're basically inseparable, I would say, if you go over and watch them testify at the legislature. And I think that that's why we don't see important distinctions in certain areas. Other areas, such as abortion, things like that, they're quite far apart.
The two extremes, but you do call them extreme, apparently. All right, we're going to move on to today's news. Democrats work on fallback tax plan. This is in this morning's Review Journal. Ben Spillman wrote this story about the inability of the Democrats to take their tax packages to the finish line, and therefore, he writes, Assembly Speaker John Alsagera says he's working on a plan that could put taxes on the ballot, possibly by the end of the year. Details remain in flux, but Alsagera said it's possible Democrats could push a bill to get the 0.8% tax on business margins and the 1% service tax on the ballot before the end of the year. Now, the upshot of this story is that it takes a lot of manipulations, other kinds of moving election dates, et cetera, to get this done. Why the hurry?
Well, I think if the public really does not want education totally defunded, which is what this current budget does. It defunds K through 12 and the university system, which will weaken our economy. I think that a ballot initiative on those two measures is going to be very strong this time, and I think they're just seizing the political advantage on that, and I think it will pass.
It may well pass. Is it worth moving the election calendar for? Wouldn't it be just as effective to have this election in the normal course of events in 2012?
Well, the Democrats are here and the Republicans are here to have a balanced budget. It's part of the state law is to pass a balanced budget. The problem isn't that the government has too much money. They have plenty of money. The problem is overspending. And the whole idea of to pass new taxes during a recession and then trying to have an economic comeback with our high unemployment is wrong. And what we really need to look at is not programs, education ad hoc. We need to take all of our limited resources, realize that we have them, and make priorities. We need to list what's our priority, our police, our courts. And do we want to attack our businesses that provide the jobs that we so desperately need, and to be able to have the revenues that we need to support our education system is the last thing we need to do. We cannot tax achievers so much they lose the incentive to achieve. We just don't have that money for our safety net and our security and our schools.
All right. Well, Governor Sandoval's office said they haven't discussed any plan about whether they would sign a bill to move elections so that this could happen. But I would go back to the question, which is, okay, throw the issue to the people. Is it worth moving everything for to have an expedited election schedule?
Well, I think from the standpoint of those who believe that we need more revenue in the state, if you wait until November of 2012, I mean, our fiscal year starts July 1st of this year, you couldn't have new taxes implemented until this biennium was done. So I think if you want new taxes, you have to do it sooner rather than later. The thing I wonder is, California a few years ago put it to the voters to raise taxes when Schwarzenegger was governor, and California is a far more left state than we are, and it failed at the ballot. I don't know what its success rate would be here.
Well, and that's interesting. The history shows us that when the teachers union gets behind a tax initiative for the sake of schools, happened in 1988, we ended up with what is now the modified business tax. It was called the BAT tax, business activity tax. Then you probably remember that.
Yeah, I do.
It was successful on the ballot, so we shall see if Nevada is different in that respect from California. Got to wrap it up with these pundits. Thanks for joining us back in a moment on Nevada Newsmakers.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 30 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $18.95.
We deliver 30 years.
Piping hot all over town.
DSL from the phone company, huh? Could be like
videos freezing
and games lagging.
Oof, the hourglass thingy. I hated seeing that.
There's more to do online than ever before. Charter Internet gives you the speed for how you use the Internet today and the features you want to keep it all safe and connected.
Now this is how the Internet should work.
I get more speed for my money.
Speed for all my thingamajigs.
3 meg DSL versus 12 megs from Charter. I'm in.
For speed and performance you can count on, switch to Charter Internet. Call now.
They lend a hand during the difficult times following a cancer diagnosis. They're right there with patients and their families every step of the way. They're a cheering section, but never on the sidelines. They require no referral and they'll see you within 24 hours. They're the expert hands of the Cancer Nurse Navigators at Renown, and they make the remarkable happen every single day. To learn more, visit remarkablerecoveries.renown.org.
My name is Justin Brecht. I've been teaching 7 years.
Justin was named Teacher of the Year at his school twice.
I became a teacher because I wanted to show kids that they can strive for a better life.
But Justin was forced out because he was the last teacher hired. Under Nevada law, when schools have to lay off teachers, most districts are forced to fire teachers based only on seniority, not on how well their students are learning.
We've got to change the system.
It's time to end seniority-based layoffs.
It's time to put students first.
The Pizza Baron is celebrating over 30 years in business, and as a way to thank you, Reno and Sparks, the Pizza Baron is offering 30 wings and a large pizza for just $18.95.
We deliver 30 years.
Piping hot all over town.
Thanks for joining us on Nevada Newsmakers. Remember, you can watch the show anytime on your computer, www.nevadanewsmakers.com. While you're there, check out our news blog, Nevada News Channel. Just click on Nevada News Channel. We've been covering the legislative session. On our next broadcast, Adam Stryker from Americans for Prosperity.